Hi everyone, and welcome back to Walk with Bex. In this very special episode, I talk live with LFP Live Education, that is Limitless Flow Posing, and we talk about setting up for success on prep. This was a live education seminar recorded for Sanaya and her team at LFP, so give it a listen, let me know what you think, and I will catch you in the next one. Okay, so let's get into this. First and foremost, I am a coach for lifestyle and prep clients. I have been coaching for, oh my goodness, I want to say 6 years. I think it's coming up to 6 years this year. And I have coached a lot of girls for stage and for photo shoot preps as well, and been very successful with the girls on my team. I have, I would say, probably half prep coaching clients and half lifestyle clients. And some of my girls are actually on this call at the moment, but also a lot of my girls are just starting prep at the moment as well. So I really want to get into how you set up for a successful prep, whether that be for a photo shoot or for stage. So I don't know how this works. Are you going to click the thing?
Oh yeah. I'll just give me a little heads up and I'll click it for you.
Okay. So any kind of prep that you're going to do, whether it's for stage competition or photo shoot, it is going to be a challenge. Let's not mess around. Like, it's going to be one of the hardest things you ever do. And it's going to test your willpower, your determination, your resilience, your grit. But you are going to learn so much about this process in terms of the skills you acquire, what you learn about yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, all of which will be transferable into other areas of your life. I am a competitor myself. I am a pro athlete, and I've been competing for the best part of 10 years. And I always say that the things that I've learned on my bodybuilding journey have transferred into my life when building my business, when managing relationships, my schedule, my routine, everything. I learned so much about what I was capable of when I was on a prep. So it's a very, very powerful journey, and it's your journey. It's completely specific to you. So when you embark on this, whenever the right time is for you, it's important that you understand it's very personal to you. It's your specific goal. It's your look that you're looking to bring to your photo shoot or to stage. And you should not at any point compare yourself to others. And I know I say this, and it's probably the hardest thing, because we are filled with a whole social media world of images, videos, people that are on prep, athletes, pro athletes, amazing physiques. And so it's very hard to say not to compare yourself to other people, because we see it in front of us all the time. But that's probably one of the biggest things, is what to expect on a prep. It's going to be totally specific to you, and it's going to be your journey, and it will look very different for you as it will for someone else. So comparing your diet to somebody else, comparing your training program to someone else, the amount of cardio they're doing compared to what you're doing, it's not going to be helpful. Fully invest in the journey and understand that it's yours, and that it's going to be an amazing experience, a very challenging experience, but it's going to be something very different than you've ever done before in your life. And if you come from any kind of sporting background, if you've been an athlete in a competitive sport, a swimmer, a gymnast, you've been in team sports, if you have that drive and determination for any kind of sport, you're going to understand the competitive aspect of bodybuilding or preparing for a competition or for a photo shoot prep. But equally, it's important to understand that it's going to be very personal to you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like 100%. Like, I feel like obviously genetic plays like a massive role in that. But then also, it's just one of those things where I feel like a lot of people compare the, oh my God, like I'm on 800 calories at this many weeks out already. Like, how are you eating that, those calories still? Like why am I doing this much cardio and that much cardio? And people really stress out about stuff like that. And unfortunately, there are some people that have to work harder than others. And there are some people that can, you know, well, their previous, like, you know, their off season and stuff like that, their muscle, like there are so many factors as to why.
So many variables.
Like, any variable that you could think of, literally on the top of your head, time in training, muscle density, your actual kind of like being able to build your food in an off season, your metabolism, like there's so many things that play a role. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I compare myself still to this day, even though I tell my girls, don't do it. And I'm there sometimes thinking, oh my God, like that girl looks amazing, so I need to try. And then like, I sometimes sit back and I go, Sanaya, practice what you preach. It's very easily done though, because you are accessible to that. But as long as you can kind of sit back and go, no, this is, like you said, it's my journey, and I will have to just do whatever I can do as long as I know that I'm doing the best of what I'm doing. That's all you can do.
And ultimately, you want to enjoy the process. If you spend the whole time on this journey preparing for stage or for a photo shoot and you don't enjoy the process, well, what's the point? You've wasted 4 months, 6 months, 8 months of your life doing something where it's like, you know, so enjoy it, enjoy the process and fully invest in what you're going to learn from it because it will teach you a hell of a lot. It really, really will. And if you enjoy it, you're more likely to do it again. And that's the downfall of something like this. The sport is people go into it for the wrong reasons, which we'll get onto in a second in a couple more slides. But if you get into it for the wrong reasons, you're doing it because you've seen someone on Instagram looks like that, you won't last. And it will probably damage your relationship with food and training, and you won't want to do something like this again. So that's what to expect. But let's talk about what you should be asking yourself the following questions. Now, I'm just going to move you guys over there actually so I can see the questions that I've written. So yeah, a few things to ask yourself and kind of do a bit of a self-evaluation and self-assessment. It's something actually I assess all my girls on. So if anyone inquires for coaching with me, prep coaching, the first thing I do is a full analysis of where they're currently at. So how long have they been training for in the gym? You know, do you actually carry a lot of muscle? Have you built enough muscle for the category or the class that you want to compete in? How many years have you been training? Are you actually a consistent trainer? Do you already consider yourself an athlete? Again, coming back to my original point that people get into the sport for the wrong reasons. They're maybe got a bad relationship with food, they're a bit overweight, and they're like, I know what I need to do. I need to start prep. No, you don't. You need to actually just build a better relationship with food and sustainable training and activity that's going to allow you to lose weight. Please do not start a prep because you feel you need to diet. That's not the reason. So, how much muscle do you have? Have you got enough for your category or class? This will vary. So, I compete in figure. I carry a lot of muscle. I have a V taper. I have bigger legs than bikini girls. I have a much wider back, broad shoulders. You know, these are things that are needed for my category and class. And I'm a pro athlete and I'm still in my off season now working towards building more muscle in those areas. It will vary for bikini, wellness, figure, women's physique, for example. Do you have a good relationship with food currently?
That's so
Super important.
important.
So
So
important. Because if you've got a poor relationship with food or you've come from a history of an eating disorder, a prep is going to be extremely challenging. I say that with no disrespect, but having a good relationship with food means you understand calories, you've got a good macro balance in your diet already, you eat food variety, you don't you're not super strict with your diet, you don't overly binge or restrict, you haven't been through that kind of cycle in a long while. Has your food increased into a place where it's optimal to support your current training? That is a massive one. And I think a lot of girls don't realize that as coaches, well, for me anyway, there's a lot of analysis that I do with their physique, but also a lot of psychological analysis that goes
Oh, yeah.
into starting a prep and really understanding, like, what is the reason for you starting a prep? What is it you want to achieve? Have you had this discussion with your family? Is my body fat in a healthy position to start a prep now? Again, you don't start a prep because you've taken your off season too far and you've gained a lot of body fat. That's not a reason to start a prep. You need to do a mini cut or you need to do a pre-prep phase first. Starting a prep is starting in the most optimal position where you're the strongest you've ever been in the gym. You are eating a lot of food, as high as your food can go. Now, I'm on the highest food I've ever been in my off season. I'm 18 weeks into it. I'm on just over 3,000 calories. That by no means is a massive amount of food. There's other girls that can eat more than that. But for me, that's great. It's working really well. So is your body in a good place to start a prep now in terms of body composition? Are you in a healthy place? Do you have any health concerns? Do we need to get your blood work done? Like, these are all things that I would be looking at with a prep client. In fact, all of my girls on prep get their blood work done in their pre-prep phase as well to make sure that all their health markers are in the right place, hormones are in a good place. And then the next question to ask yourself is, do you have the time to commit to this 100%? Because as I mentioned at the start, like, it's your journey, it's very specific to you, but it is all or nothing. Like, it really is. And that's not saying you have to, you know, cut people out of your life. I've done prep where I've been working a full-time job as a teacher, and I've done prep where I've been an online coach and had the freedom of my own schedule. Both are equally hard. Trust me, prep is not going to be easy either way, but you have to be able to commit. So that's looking at your schedule, looking at when you're going to potentially prep your meals, when will you be doing cardio, what time of day do you train at? How are you organizing your work schedule, family commitments? Do you have kids, family, things like this? So, do you have the time to commit to it in the long term and the time frame? Is there things coming up in the course of this year that you're planning on prepping that we need to account for? Or do you have time to commit to it right now? Or is now not the right time because you're moving house, you're getting married, you're starting a new job? Am I supported by my loved ones and have I discussed this with them? Super important. It's one of the
Discussing
more.
it is like communication. I cannot stress how important that is, and that's just learning from it's just learning from like my previous experience as well. Like, why do people expect your family and your friends to just understand, like, just to
What
get?
bodybuilding is, yeah.
Yeah, it's so ridiculously weird on the outsider. Like it's extreme, and like people who care for you are gonna have worries, like whether it's off season, whether it's a prep, because it is at that extreme level of sport, regardless of if you're amateur or not. It's not where it can, get more and more extreme. It's very much literally extreme just generally throughout. And
Yeah.
the communication part, like me, I remember I expected my family to understand, and then I thought to myself, well, I've never actually really explained it to them, or like actually shown them my passion that I have for it. And that honestly completely converted them, because they finally supported and understood rather than were led blindly and were worried.
Yeah, at least you told your family. My first ever prep, I never told my parents. I told them after I got on stage. I remember my mom saying to me, "You're looking really skinny." That was her way of saying you look thin and lean. Not like you look like a crackhead, you're gaunt in the face. But yeah, I remember her saying to me, "Look, oh," she said, "Are you doing another one of those photo shoots?" I said, "Yeah." And then I was like, and then afterwards I showed her the medal and I was like, "Oh yeah, I just did this thing where I got on stage." And yeah, so that was a mistake I made 10 years ago, not anymore. And my family more supportive. But yeah, I think, are you supported by loved ones? Do you discuss it with them? I do this with my clients and I actually offer this to my clients. I'm like, look, if you want me to get on a call with you and your hubby, like more than happy, or get your husband to follow my Instagram so he understands what I'm all about, what you're doing. But I think it's really important that you have that discussion with them to understand, A, like you said, why you're doing it and why you want to do it. Because they know you better than anybody and they will know if you're doing it for the right reasons or not. Like, for example, yes, I know you've always been competitive. You used to be an athlete doing this sport. Makes sense for you to do this now instead of CrossFit, whatever. But also talk them through like what it entails. So, you know, I have a coach and I check in with her regularly. This is what it's going to involve. I do have support from her. I am going to have to be dieting. These are the meals I'm going to need to follow. I won't be able to have off-point meals with you. We can't go on date night, these sorts of things. And the way I explain it to clients who perhaps have family members that don't understand, I'm like, explain it to them in terms of calorie balance for prep versus bank balance. If you were saving for a mortgage, every single penny that you spend has to be accounted for because you're desperate to save for that mortgage. So you're not going to have the extra Starbucks coffees because you're like, that's £3.50 that I could put. And if I had one of those every single week, it would add up to this much towards the mortgage. It's the same with a prep. I can't account for that Starbucks coffee because that's X amount of calories that's now adding to my current calories, which are in a deficit. So I think explaining like that to family, they understand, well, why can't you just have a cookie or a slice of pizza? They start to understand, okay, it's about the balance, the bank balance. And am I prepared to invest in this journey long term? Now, I don't just mean long term in terms of the course of your prep, because a prep is expensive. You have the cost of a coach, posing coach, your bikini, your tan, your makeup, you're actually traveling to shows, attending the shows. So a prep itself is expensive when you're thinking about competition prep, photo shoot prep, just as expensive. Like you're gonna have to travel, pay for your photographer, but also are you prepared to invest in it long term, physically and mentally? A prep is not something you do and then go, oh, that was nice, I'm done. No, ultimately, anyone that comes to me for prep coaching, it's, are you an athlete long term? Do you see yourself training for the rest of your life? Yes, I'm always in the gym 5 times a week. Okay, so you actually do this. It's not just, I want to prep because I want to look good in the
Want to look
office.
good on photos.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to wear a
So,
shiny bikini on stage.
not the reason to do a prep. Trust me, it's too flipping hard for that. And the photos sometimes aren't even that great, girls. Come on, let's be real.
The lighting's slightly off, it's like,
Oh, you think that was a lot. You're like, it's a long time to do something if it's just for a photo. And trust me, it's not even like if you get a medal, it's not even that great a medal. I've got tons of medals on the wall behind me.
yeah.
The times I competed, but
You
yeah.
like you tap on them and it's like, this feels really, really cheap. Thank you for that.
Anything else you want to add to that? Any other questions you should ask?
No, I definitely feel as though like I think one thing to think in terms of like the long-term thing is to remember that the prep isn't like the only part of the journey. It's actually only like one third of it. You have three different parts of the journey that you must encounter when it comes to this long-term journey. You've got building the muscle in the off season, you've got the actual prep itself, but then you've got the post-show phase, and that is probably personally one of the hardest phases that I go through out of the three. Prep's really hard, off season's really hard, but that post-show phase, and that's something that I say to a lot of clients as well, is just be very in tune. And this is again why it's really important that you've mentioned to have a good relationship with your food in an off season and in a prep, because that post-show phase, just hormones and everything like that anyway, it's just a crazy time of your life. And if you are a first timer, there are so many emotions and feelings and thoughts and looks that you are not going to have ever experienced in your whole life. You'll be fighting with yourself, you'll be looking at yourself, there are so many things that you'll struggle with. So it's like, have you invested into an off season? Have you invested into the prep? But also, are you willing a post show to invest and trust your coach to allow you to take you and transition you out of
And not just do a 12-week prep and then just leave your coach, because that's the worst thing you can possibly do. Like with my girls, I don't have that option. When they sign up for coaching, they sign up for the full year, because we plan out every phase of the entire year based on where they're at. So if they come to me and they've just been doing an off-season themselves, we might do a pre-prep phase and then we go into prep. Then we do, like we said, the post-show recovery phase, and then we go into improvement season. We map out the whole year, the whole timeline is there. So I don't take people on unless they're committed to the long-term journey, because I don't want to be the person that really damages someone's relationship with food or their hormones or their health. I'm like, no. And for me, because I've been doing this 10 years, there's nothing my girls could tell me that I haven't done or experienced. Trust me, I've done everything post you can think of. Trust me.
It. I've got the sticker. Trust me. And I
Nothing
also
you could say that would shock me.
literally, and I also think it's like people think, oh, it's from a monetary situation because you want me to pay you. It's really not, honestly. Unless your coach doesn't care, you honestly need someone. You need that help post show.
I've had girls that have left me post show or whatever, because they wanted to. But I said, when you get your blood work done, send it to me and I'll have a call with you. We are going to go through it. 6 weeks post show, I want to see what your blood work looks like. So,
And
100%.
it's just because honestly, your health is generally, if you get lean enough, it's generally, especially as females, like our hormones just can't like crash like as we diet, because we're not meant to be as lean as we are. And it's just making sure that A, relationship with food, B, get your period back, your hormones are good. And there's just so many factors that like it is honestly, it's the health part of it and the mentality of like making sure that you've not got yourself. So you might not even, I've never had an eating disorder ever in my entire life, but post show
You
was,
feel like you have one.
I felt like I had one, and I really needed that. If Tom didn't like manage me well, honestly, if I was on my own, I could honestly say I'd probably fall into one, and I'd really struggle with like knowing what's right and wrong, and then like sneaking food, and then like thinking, oh, I need to do extra cardio, because I was falling into that mindset until I said, Tom, I think I should tell you how I'm like mentally, what's going on in here. I need your help to guide me through this, because I'm turning tables here. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's why a coach is important, to be there for you in like a coach matter, but also confide in me so I can help you get through
Absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. You need that support 100%. And a coach is not just someone that writes you a diet plan or a prep program or whatever. It's like you're dealing with a human being. You have to be compassionate and understanding. And most coaches have been through the process, they're very understanding and can give you the tools that you need to get yourself out of those positions, definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay, phases of prep. We touched on it briefly, but you have your pre-season, which is kind of priming you for your body for a prep. Now, in most cases, this could be your off season, which we've got below your improvement season, your off season, but this pre-season is about making sure that you are at your strongest in the gym, your food is high. You don't want to be coming to a coach or your coach or finding a coach and saying, I want to start a prep. There's a show in 12 weeks. Let's go. I'm like, no. We want to make sure that we're getting you into a place where I can assess your physique and actually do a physique analysis. Does your physique fit the criteria that you're describing, or do we need a solid improvement phase to go through where we can put on the muscle needed in those areas? Are you strong in the gym? Is your food nice and high? Because the goal is to build a physique worthy of stage first. It's not a dieting competition.
Yes.
The judges don't care what your fucking stage weight is. Like, they don't give a shit. Do you have enough muscle worthy of that class and that category on stage? And, you know, are you lean enough for the category? Not too lean enough. Then you have obviously prep, which is to focus on maintaining the strength that you've built in the gym, because what built it will keep it. And that's the most important thing on a prep, is to stay strong in the gym. You know, you utilize the tools of cardio and nutrition to get stage lean. So you create your calorie deficit through those means. Your output and your nutrition is where you get leaner. Staying strong in the gym is your number one goal, because the goal is to drop body fat and hold on to the muscle. So if your training performance is dipping in the first couple of weeks of prep, something's off. Either you were never that strong before, or you need to be looking at what you're doing with your cardio and your nutrition. Now, don't get me wrong, there's times on prep where you're going to be feeling tired, fatigued. And again, that's your coach's role to have that communication with you. You be clear in giving that feedback so that they know when to pull back, have an extra rest day, to do a deload if needed. And again, the timeline of your prep should allow for that. So let's say, for example, you're looking at prepping and you've got a show that's in 20 weeks, 20 weeks' time. I'd be like, well, start your prep at 20 weeks out, because give yourself a little bit more wiggle room to make sure that you are getting lean enough, that you can pull back when needed. You're giving yourself an extra 2 or 3 weeks wiggle room if something happens in your life, you know, because ultimately when you're on prep, life is still going to happen. Stress will come in, work shit still happens, family situations, relationships break up, people die, like all sorts of things. Life doesn't stop when a prep's on. So don't think, I'm going to be on prep and everything's going to be absolutely perfect every single day of the week. No, it won't. Life will still happen. I remember when I was on prep and I was like 3 weeks into prep and I had to move house, and then I fell down the stairs and knocked myself out unconscious. Yeah, I was like 3 weeks in and I was like, oh, this is just brilliant. It happened. So, yeah, on prep, the goal is to drop body fat and hold on to as much muscle as possible. And then your improvement season is the most important one, where you're actually in a calorie surplus, you are building muscle. Yes, there's a degree of flexibility with nutrition, it doesn't need to be as strict. And the focus is training for growth. Like, that phase is where all the work happens. And I think it's the one that people miss out on the worst. And I'm guilty of this too. Like, when I've been competing for 10 years straight, I think probably this time I've had now is the second longest off season I've ever had, you know, because I was so adamant about going for the next shows and things like this. So I've fallen into that. But I think that improvement season, then you have like your pre-season, and then on prep, those would be the three main ones. But like Sinai said, that recovery phase is very, very important. I think I've got that on another slide to come. But yeah, that post-show phase is a phase where I think people don't realize how they're going to feel. And like I said at the very start, a prep for you is going to be personal to you. It's going to be the most challenging thing you ever do, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know. So having that support for all these different phases and having them mapped out, I think, is absolutely crucial.
For sure. And Beth and Lindsay, it's definitely something for you to take note of just because you guys are first timers as well. So listening to this and like the post show part, I feel like people talk
We're
about it.
not trying to scare you too
Yeah,
much.
not scaring you. It's just more so like just be prepared and also understand that you're not the only one who's gone through it. Even though Bex is a massively seasoned athlete, I'm sure that obviously, post show has gotten better through time, but there are still certain struggles. Like everyone still has certain struggles through it. So the fact is, you're not alone. You're really not
Absolutely. We talked about investing in the journey, and we said about investing in it long term. Like, a prep is not a dieting competition or something you take lightly. Understand that all of those phases are needed in order to create your best physique today. Absolutely. Like, you're working towards the best version of you. And in most cases, it's going to be a physique that you haven't even seen yet, especially if you're a first timer. So you don't know how your body's going to respond. You're going to see your physique change. You're going to see scale weight go down, new lines and definition in your physique. And you're going to be in awe of it. Like, you're going to become the best version of yourself. But on the flip side of that, as we kind of talked about, the kind of post-show reverse and the off-season, is it's going to be really hard to detach yourself from that as well. So that's something, like, it's a very exciting journey to be on, But that prep process is going to teach you a lot about where you can take your body, but equally understanding the reverse of that, I think, is really important too. Like, it's going to challenge you and you'll become the best version of yourself, but it's going to be different for everybody. And I think when we talk about stage competition and photo shoot prep competition, like preparation, it's different, but you should still have high expectations of yourself. So it's like, if you're setting yourself a goal of, I want to get in front of the camera, I want to get on stage, your coach is going to expect you to set high expectations for yourself because they're going to have it of you as well. And that's something that I have prep clients and I have lifestyle clients. My expectations of my prep clients is much higher than that of my lifestyle clients because they've told me that they have very specific physique goals. And so I hold them to that standard. So when I expect them to check in, they check in on time, the same time every single week. It's in detail. And as the prep continues, communication increases more and more through WhatsApp. We have multiple check-ins, you know, because as we're getting closer and closer to that goal, as Sanai said, you're going to need more support, more communication happens. So that investment in the journey is about you investing in your coach as well and really getting to know them and feeling comfortable having those conversations. And when you have those wobbles talking to them, like
Don't
I
hide.
know my girls can message me anytime about anything, and there's nothing they could say that I would freak out about at any time of day as well. So sorry, Sanai, what were you saying?
I honestly can't remember what I said, but I'm also, I think I was going along the lines of like trusting them as well. Like, if you've got that little bit where you're like, oh, I don't feel like I can tell them about this, you've got to address that and you've got to think, well, I'm going to speak to them and say, well, like, this is the thought I feel. And also, like, you should be thinking about this prior to your prep. You should think, can I trust this person? You should think of that when you choose the coach. But I know it's not always easy. You think that this coach is going to be amazing for you, and it just turns out that it just doesn't work. And it's being honest with yourself rather than just holding out, because that will honestly make your journey incredibly difficult because you don't trust what they say. You don't think that they're right. You don't get on, so you don't want to work.
You're investing in a relationship at the end of the day. It is a relationship, and you will get very close with your coach because there will come a point on prep where you're checking in every single day, multiple times a week. So it's like, and guess what? They're seeing you in a bikini every single time you do that. So you need to trust your coach and be in a comfortable relationship with them. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Next slide.
Yeah, go for it. Oh, okay. So I like this one, leveling up. So basically, because you're investing in this journey and you know the expectations are high and you're really setting yourself a very specific goal, it's time to level your shit up, basically. So if you have been that, but you know, if you've been like, oh yeah, I kind of train at the gym, no, your training is going to be designed to your specific category, for your look, for your stage, or for the photo shoot, the look you want to bring. You know, your cardio sessions have got to be completed in a systematic way. You know, your effort and your intensity that you bring to your training sessions and your cardio is another level. Like, if in your off season you haven't been giving it all to your training, once you start prep, I promise you, you'll be like, right, let's freaking go. You know, things like nutrition and supplementation, you know, your meal plan, your supplement protocol, they're going to be non-negotiables. You know, I give my girls in their off season a little bit of wiggle room if they want to make macro swaps or they have a little bit of extras and stuff in their off season. No issues whatsoever. But once you're on prep, all the variables are dialed in. Like, there's no off plan, there's no treats unless specified by a coach. Because again, you want your prep to be successful and you want the rate of loss that you want to achieve, you want to see your physique change. The fewer variables you have with your foods, the greater the progress. Because when a small change happens to your food, you'll see progress in your physique. When a small increase in cardio happens, 5 minutes extra cardio a day, you'll see progress in your physique. So it's like you really level up, but you dial in on everything so specifically in prep if you're not already doing that in your off season. Your check-ins and your communication, like I said before, like you'll have that throughout your prep and that will determine your success on prep. How you actually communicate with your coach, like I said, like how things are going, you know, how you're feeling fatigue-wise, how's your sleep, all of that biofeedback is going to contribute to how your coach assesses what to do next on your prep. So let's say you've had a really, really hard week of training, or your sleep's been shit because, you know, your husband's been snoring or you've moved house or whatever. Like, that's really important to know, because if your sleep's been really poor and your training performance is dipping and, you know, your weight is holding, that's going to be cortisol in your body. So the communication that you have with your coach and sharing all of that stuff about your life is going to be really, really crucial.
People think like coaches are literally just nutrition and training, and it's like, No, honestly, we're probably more or so a life coach because everything matters, whether or not you've had an argument at work, whether or not, and I get my clients to send me like daily check-in forms like on my app. And I say to them, listen, you use it as your diary because if you just feel like, if you feel like you're in a safe space, great. But also, if you tell me everything, and obviously there are some things that if you don't want to talk to me about, you know, certain private things, obviously don't tell me. But the main subject of that day or how your day's gone or how you're feeling, that's something that not only do I want to know so I can build that relationship and I'm actually interested, but I also need to know to help coach you the best I possibly can.
Like, if I know what's happening and what's causing this, then I can help navigate it for you. It's far
Exactly.
better, far better. And again, it comes down to you building that relationship with your coach at the start.
For sure.
Okay, closing. This is your one. So everyone thinks, oh, okay, prep is just about dieting, getting lean for stage. No, how you present yourself on stage is absolutely everything.
Yeah.
If you have great physique, but you can't properly display it, it'll be obvious to
Who's
everyone
gonna
watching.
know that you've got a great physique if you can't show it? Do you know what I mean?
And I think you need to choose the federation, the category that's most suitable to your physique. And again, your posing coach and your coach that supports you should be helping you with that. So I've got girls on my team that compete in different federations, different categories, and I'll always say, based on your physique, your experience, these are the federations I would go with. So again, I have girls that are assisted or natural. Again, we choose a federation and a category that's best suited to their physique. And a posing coach is an absolute must for stage prep, whether you are first time or not. I am a pro athlete. I still have a posing coach. Rhea Gale is a posing coach. And I've been doing this 10 years and she still helps me with my posing every 2 weeks. So, you know, you still need to practice your poses daily in order to present your physique well to meet the criteria for your category. And there's never too soon a time to start this. I'm in my off season, 30 pounds above stage weight. I still practice my posing. So, you know.
That's honestly unheard of with women. Like it comes to an off season and they're like, nope. And I completely get it, but it's like, I promise you'll thank yourself throughout that prep. And it's just less stressful, like, and it's less costly if you spread it out throughout all the phases of your bodybuilding journey. If you just start when you start in prep, it's like, Jesus Christ, if you're shit at posing.
You've got enough, yeah, and you've got enough to think about on prep. And when you're tired on prep and you're dieting, posing's harder. Do your posing in your off season when you're 30 pounds above stage weight. Trust me, it's still flipping hard. I get puffed doing mine. But if I can do it then when I'm, you know, well above my stage weight, when I get leaner, it's just, it's dialed in, it's nailed. I don't even have to think. I can transition now with my eyes closed. So
You got brain
posing,
cells left. You've got them.
posing is an absolute must. Now, a posing coach is not essential for a photo shoot prep, but you still need to get familiar with how to pose in front of a camera. And I do this with my girls, my photo shoot prep girls. We get on a call, you know, 2, 3 weeks before their photo shoot, and I show them how to pose. I'm like, right, here's how you push your hips back. Here's where you're going to put your hand. No, don't crunch down on your abs. That doesn't, you know, you want to elongate your waist. You want to push your hips back. You want to stand tall. So we go through the different angles and we talk about outfits and all of those sorts of things. So your coach should be helping you with this. If you've got a photo shoot prep, yes. Speak to your coach and be like, right, what outfit should I wear? You know, have that discussion with them. And obviously, if it's a female, it's a lot easier. You can do it on the call and show
Yeah,
me.
a man going, yeah, neon yellow and like a dark blue would look nice.
Yeah, I don't think a guy
But
would
no,
probably.
Reed would be awful. So I would be
But
like,
I quite love it. Like one of my girls in America, Nikki, she just did a photo shoot and she'd had three different looks. She had a lingerie one, she did like a Sports Illustrated one on a golf course. She looks freaking phenomenal. Like she looks so cool. It looks like something should be on a magazine, like Sports Illustrated. I was like,
want to do
yeah.
them.
Yeah, it was so cool. Okay, yeah, next slide. Let's go. Progress on a prep. Your goal on a prep is to get strong in the gym and to stay strong in the gym. Number one. Even when you're dieting or when your calories are low, you need to be able to take your working sets to failure and maximize your training performance. Like, please remind yourself that you're stronger than you think. I think when people start dieting on a prep or they're doing cardio, they're like, oh, I'm not as strong. I couldn't hit my leg press PB. You still will. I promise you will. And that's where logging your lifts and tracking your training in things like a logbook is the most effective way to monitor your strength and your progress on a prep. You know, you want to ensure that your muscles are staying full as you get leaner. The way to keep them full is to train hard. Absolutely. And if you don't have a coach that allows for you to send training footage, fire them and get a new one.
I've seen this far too often, and it
Oh,
honestly it stresses me out. It's like,
you
what are you
should be
doing as
sending your training to
coach?
your coach. 100%. I still send my training to my coach, and I'm a pro, and my girls will send their training to me. So yeah, it will contribute to your progress massively. And I think if you have that process in place, continue it throughout your prep as well. But yes, please remind yourself that you can still progress in your training even when you're on lower calories, because it's a mindset thing more than anything.
Sure. And then also, like, what suits you in an off season training wise might not suit you in a prep. Let's say, for example, like deadlifts, if it's just building up too much fatigue, or like certain, like, you can lose a lot of stability in like free weights. It might be where your coach can see that in your training where you're really struggling, and it might be far more effective for you to be on a fixed machine because you'll be able to keep your strength, but you're not like wobbling all over the place, and that's the reason why you fail and stuff like that. So I think that's really important, because in a video you can see a lot in intensity and strength, and does this actually work for them right now? Like, is it suitable for them? That kind of thing.
Like, we have this assessment in our team. We have a pre-prep phase. So when my girls have come to the end of their off season, we know prep's approaching. We have a pre-prep phase that can run anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks. And that's when we reassess the training program and performance, because we look, okay, they're at the peak of their off season, they're at the strongest, they're on the highest calories. Is that level of volume and those exercises that they've maxed out on now still going to be beneficial on a prep, or do we really need to rework things and switch some exercises out and almost refresh their logbook so that they can start prep and actually progress on a prep? Do you know what I mean? So that works really well, where the training split doesn't change, but like you said, you'll pull out deadlifts and be like, right, let's put in a T-bar row or a close grip row or something like that instead.
Exactly.
Preparing for the big day. Oh, I love this one. So whether you are doing a photo shoot or a stage competition, your schedule. So on the day, you'll have a lot to think about. You will be so nervous, whether it's stage or photo shoot. So get organized well in advance, definitely. Know the date, the timings for everything, and share them with your coach so that they can support you. The more I know about your show day, the schedule, the running order, when you're traveling, are you traveling and do you have accommodation? You know, in most cases, people will be traveling to their shows. It's not going to be on your doorstep. So you're going to need to think about where you're staying, how many meals you've got to take, is it overnight? Are you at an Airbnb? There's all of these things. So I have like a whole prep like document for my girls, and I send them all the things to think about before your show. And including like a whole list of things to bring. Like, you know, your coach should discuss that with you, what you might need to pack in terms of the small suitcase, your posing stuff, like tanning, the sleep sack so you don't stain the sheets. Like, there's a whole list of things, safety pins in case your bikini breaks, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, so I think it's really important to prepare for the big day in advance, both for photo shoot prep and for stage, and share all that information with your coach, because they're going to be the best possible person to support you and say, okay, so if you're traveling on this day, this is how we're going to run your meals. This is when I'd recommend you train. This is when your last training session is going to be before your show. Like, all of that stuff will be scheduled in around your time for the big day. And the same for a photo shoot prep as well. And it will vary, but the more organized you can be ahead of time, the easier it's going to be, and the less stressed you're going to feel. Because on that day, it will fly by, doesn't it, Sanaya? It just goes so fast.
Even if you're a bikini girl and like you're last, it may feel long, but then as soon as you come off that stage, you'll go, where did that go? Like with a click of your fingers. I honestly look back and think, on my first show specifically as well, why didn't I just enjoy it? Why didn't I just sit back, relax, have fun, and just think, you know what, I'm here now? Whether before I was like running around doing this, when in reality, you need to be sat the fuck down doing nothing.
I know, it goes so fast. But I think the more prepared you can be for that big day, the better. Absolutely. So you can enjoy it. Okay, post show, post prep. We've talked about this. Okay, it is very common to feel mixed emotions during the prep process and post show, and post prep, because you're dedicating so much of your time, your energy, and your effort towards this process and this one goal you're working towards. So that's the first thing. Your emotions are all over the place because you've literally dialed into this and you're like, I'm going to do this big thing. So you're working towards a goal. So that's going to be an emotionally draining thing. It's also crucial that you have a plan in place then post prep with your coach that has goals that are tailored towards not just physique goals, but mental recovery, physical strength again. So like we talked about before, having a timeline where you've got other things to work on when the show is finished, will alleviate those mixed emotions and the post-show kind of blues that you can feel, you know, because your body is going to be in a very fragile state. Your mind and your emotions are going to be very, very low. So following a reverse diet and keeping in regular contact with your coach is the most important thing to do. And so if my girls are prepping and let's say in the last 2 weeks, they're checking in every single day, when they've done their show, the following day, I let them have the day off with their family to chill. But then they're back to daily check-ins again until we get things back in order and they're feeling really good. So it's like you don't have all that communication leading up to the show, and all of a sudden you don't hear from your coach and they're like, yeah, just check in next week. Like, no, we keep that communication. And most girls, I get on a call with them literally the next day after their show. I'm like, right, let's book in a call. Let's chat it through. How did it go? How are you feeling? You know, supporting your post-prep journey is just as important, if not more so, than the
Yeah,
prep. I
for
think this is
sure.
where a lot of coaches will fall down. If you don't prepare for this post-show phase, you're going to be leaving yourself in a very vulnerable position. And that's the last thing I'd want any of my girls to feel.
It is one of those things where it's like it not the one thing with the communication with coach as well is like you go from all this communication to then some coaches just say, yeah, like I'll hear from you like and you said your usual check-in day, and it's like, oh, hold on a minute, but like, I've never felt this before. And then day to day, it's like you feel different on a day to day post show. You feel far more emotionally up and down than you do in a prep.
Yeah.
Mentally, it's like it's really, really kind of hard, and you are in that fragile state. So it's like almost keeping your routine similar. And again, if your coach says, how do you want to just check in next week? You should be the one to say, no, can we just keep the schedule the same? Just
Yeah.
until I've got the grips of like where I feel confident that I can maybe do 3 times per week and then move on to one. Because you go from going from show, 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 I've got to get lean for a show, got to get lean for a show, got to get lean for a show, for then it to go poof, it's gone. You think, now what? Like, I don't stay lean, but I'm used to now looking for lines. I'm struggling now to figure out if I should eat this or not because I've spent so long knowing I shouldn't. So when should I? So
Yeah.
again, it's that understanding that you are going to feel a bit like, ah, I don't know what to do, but you should be supported.
And in most cases, your coach should have your post-show diet ready for you. So a thing that I do with my girls when they're in peak week, and obviously we're tapering down training, cardio, I give them time to think. I said, tell me all the foods that you'd like in your reverse diet. What are the foods that you're missing? They'd be like, oh my God, I really want bagels back in, or I'd love to have wraps or whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay, send me a whole list. And some of the girls will send me a whole list. And before their show, I'll have their diet already set up for them. I'll be like, right, this is what I'm looking at for training day and rest day now. What do you think? Oh my God, I can't wait to eat that food. So they actually go into a shop before they go to their show. So they've got all the food in the cupboard ready to go. So they've had their celebratory meal post show. They've maybe had the next day intuitively eating, had brunch with their family, you know, dinner with their sister that they haven't seen forever, whatever. And then it's like, okay, now you've got your meals on plan. And we have that discussion of, yeah. And they've got that, they've got, we have that discussion of, okay, so we can move back to like a meal off plan once a week, but I do want a level of adherence to this reverse diet now. Because if you hit the fuck it button and you don't reverse carefully, I promise you will gain 10 kilo in a week. It's
And you'll be
easily done.
dieting again far too soon. And then again, it will just be a longer mental battle because you unfortunately, you've kind of messed your metabolism up. Your hormones haven't really stabilized because you've gone from all or nothing, like you've gone from nothing to all. And it's just for females especially, I just feel like far more important to do this reverse properly, just purely based off a hormonal aspect as well, and like actually leveling out our hormones. It's
And the
like,
hormones like leptin and ghrelin, like they're going to be playing havoc with your brain. They're all going to be telling you, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, even though
even
you've
if your
eaten.
stomach is
Yeah.
out here,
Yeah.
you are starving.
So it's like you almost need to have that plan in place where it's like, okay, so post show, you're going to have this meal, you're doing this with your sister, awesome. And then your next off plan meal is going to be when? Oh, it's with my cousin next Sunday, awesome. Here's your meal plan. Crack on. Treat like prep again. Let's get back on it, but you've got different foods.
Exactly. Perfect.
Oh, awesome. I thought I had another slide. Okay, great.
Amazing. That was a really, really good insight. Honestly, like it's really nice that you've like throughout that presentation, you took people amongst that journey and like reminded people that it isn't just a prep when it comes to bodybuilding. And that's so, that's, it's just something that people forget. And it's like, no, like you should love the gym, like the bodybuilding, the prep side of things. That is the cherry, literally the cherry on the top. The flour, the eggs, the sugar, that is the exercises, the nutrition, the getting strong. All of that leads to that cherry on the top. That's just the final missing piece. And you should be in love with the gym, and you should want to do that, and then naturally go into a bodybuilding prep rather than thinking, I'm been at the gym for a month now, I'm gonna do a bodybuilding prep. No, start with the love, start with the passion, start with actually building the muscle that you need, and then think of that, because a lot of
I
people.
didn't do my first show until I was 30. I started training when I was 27. I got into this really late. Like, I'm 38 now, so I've
You're
been doing
not
this like
38. I'm in shock. What
no.
skincare routine do you do?
It's a lot of Botox in Dubai.
Love that.
But no, yeah. So I didn't do my first show for 3 years when I started training. Yeah. So it's
It.
like
Falling
took
in
my
love.
time. Yeah. And the reason I was doing it was because I started training. I absolutely fell in love with the gym. I'd done a little like photo shoot prep, but it wasn't like a serious prep. It was like a little 6 week cut thing. But I remember feeling so in love with the gym, and I was like, I wonder how amazing I can get my body by the time I'm 30. What could I achieve? So me, it was, I want to see how amazing my body would look if I went through this process by the time I'm 30. What's the best I could look at the age of 30? So
When I
that
put
was my,
myself.
yeah.
Also, I think another thing as well is like, I say this a lot of the time, it's respecting the sport. You don't see someone who's really shit at running, like cannot run for their life, going into a running competition. So
Go and do it the London Marathon. Like, no.
exactly. And I think that's something that I try and put out there a lot, is really respect the sport, really think. Okay, and you need people around you to be honest with you, because some people can like blow smoke up your ass and you think you're the shit. In reality, someone just needs to say to you, you need a year or so, the muscle. And that's just something that I see a lot at the moment, is people just literally going into the show. And I appreciate every transformation people make, whether that's mentally, whether that's physically, whatever it may be. But there are federations out there for the Transformation Challenge, and then there's also a bodybuilding show. Say this with all the amount of
Different,
respect.
really
Please
different.
respect the sport and really, really consider if it's your sport currently. Anyone pretty much generally can build muscle, but is it your time to actually go into that sport, to respect that sport and to actually, you know, feel happy about your physique? Because it is also, you get judged and you are on social media. So it's like that element as well, where mentally people should really consider that. Like, are you willing to put yourself out there like that? And are you actually bringing a look that is worthy of being on stage? And I think that's
Absolutely.
really important.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think that's a fantastic point to end on for sure. Yeah.
So, Lindsay and Beth, you may not have any questions, but do you have any questions at all? If there are any questions alongside this, Bex, what I'll do is if anyone puts anything on the community site, or anyone who's listening to this wants to message you, I will pop your Instagram link and like screenshot and everything like that there, so that they can contact you and vice versa.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
I've got one. Sorry, I'm looking a bit worse for wear. How did you manage your fatigue around work? Because 2 days a week, I have to work long shifts, so I do two 15-hour shifts and then one 8-hour. How did you manage your fatigue?
Are you asking me specifically? Yeah.
Yes.
So I was a teacher for 10 years. So for me, my training schedule was around my teaching schedule. So I didn't work those hours, but I still worked long hours. So for me, it was cardio in the morning in the gym, then showering, going straight to work, staying at school all day teaching. Sometimes parents' evening I would train, do my extra cardio, go home, meal prep, sleep, start again. But if you're working schedules like that, I would be looking at a rolling schedule for training so that you're accounting for those longer days where potentially those are going to be rest days. That's what I would look at. 100%. Because a day where you're working like 15 hours or you're doing nights and things, you've got to account for the fact that your sleeping pattern's not going to be optimal for recovery and training. So you've got to look at rest time, sleep time, recovery, nutrition around training, and your overall calories across the day. Like, I've had clients that work as like cabin crew and things like this, so they're traveling all over time zones again. So it's about them looking at calories in the day getting in, but making sure they're peri-nutrition, so their nutrition around their training window is optimal. As long as you've got enough food pre and post, you're still going to have a decent training session. What you need to look at is your recovery time and sleep. If sleep's not been optimal, or you've been on nights going into days and things like this, I would be looking at a rolling training schedule that allows for you to have rest days on those days.
So you can chop and change it when needed. So if you know that on a Wednesday you're working a 15-hour shift, make that as a rest day and then manage the next day to fit in.
Like, say if it was like push, pull, legs, glutes or something you were doing, let's say you had that kind of split. If you knew that like the Tuesday was going to be the 15-hour day, you do push, rest, then you do. So you'd slot in your rest days on those days when you had those, if you have flexibility on the other days. Do you know what I mean? Most people would training days, but I would roll your training timetable around.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's what I've been doing kind of thing. So brilliant. Thank you.
Because the frequency is there and you're able to still train the muscle groups and the volume across the week that you want, it should be fine.
Yeah. A lot of people like struggle with that because they think, no, if it says on a Tuesday, I have to train. In reality, it is like, if life sometimes gets in the way, as long as like you don't do legs upon legs upon legs.
Yeah.
It's like, as long as you optimize that recovery and sleep, it is very manageable, especially because most people train 4 to 5 days a week anyway. You have rest days to kind of slot when you can.
Where you can.
Exactly. Any other questions at all? No? Fabulous.
I love that you've done steps this whole time. What legend. What a legend.
Honestly, Beth's amazing.
My job is sitting on my backside, so it's a good way.
I've never seen someone look so glamorous doing steps. You look so glam.
She's always glamorous, Beth, honestly. Even if she doesn't think that she is, it's like you always come to these things.
Looking. I don't go downstairs in the morning until my hair and makeup's done. And then I start my day, but I probably stink. Because then I don't shower
till
later at night, but most people don't smell me, so it's
fine.
I love it.
Well, first things first, thank you girls for coming and attending, and those who are listening, thank you for listening and really kind of wanting to educate yourself on this topic. And then again, thank you so much, Bex, for coming here and sharing. Honestly, it's been amazing, and I really, really do appreciate everything that you have done for us today. And I honestly have learned a lot, because I feel like you can sometimes just get into a rhythm of things, and things like this just they re-teach you and they remind you of certain things and like how important each phase is. Because I'm definitely one of those people that can sometimes slack in an off season, and now I'm like, oh yeah, like I actually want to like, you know, really like make sure to do as much as I can to ensure that next time I compete, I'm actually better.
Absolutely, anytime. Oh, it's so lovely to be here, and I hope everyone found it useful that's listening.
Thank you so much. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.